Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. I'm glad you're with me tonight because tonight we're going to talk about temptation. And I know many of you are watching and you do have temptations in your life. There are things that simply intrigue you or entice you and they drag you away, and sometimes they entice you to actual sin, and the consequences of that can be devastating. And so if you're struggling with temptation, I want to assure you that God promises in the Bible that he will always provide a way out of temptation. Whenever temptation comes at you, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now the trick is for us to be so in tune with God that we can see the way out and we can walk out of it unscathed. There are people who have done this. Jesus was one of them, and he is our supreme example. When he was tempted in the desert, he was able to withstand that and to walk out of that unscathed. And so I want to encourage you to follow the example of Christ and also to call on his help, for he will provide help for us and he will provide a way out. I have a story I want to share with you about a powerful illustration of a friend of mine who walked out of temptation as it was about to ensnare him. And I think you'll be intrigued by the story as well as by the application it has for your life as well. If you will look on your screen, there's a place called Message Notes. And you can follow along with me on some of the verses I will use tonight as well as the outline I have. But first off, I want you to read a few sentences and paragraphs about what God says about temptation in the Bible. So I'm going to play a little bit on the piano, and if you'll read those passages that are listed on the message notes section of the screen, you'll be able to just absorb some of what God has to say about temptation. And maybe you can pray and just ask God to speak to you tonight through this message. Thanks again. We're going to have a good time talking about temptation after I come back from playing a little bit, and just enjoy this time of spending time with God and listening to his word speak to you. friend of mine a few years ago was faced with a situation where he was traveling overseas, and he was for the first time in his life able to go to a red light district in this overseas city where he knew that nobody knew him, and he could get away with whatever he wanted to and see some things that he may have never seen before in his life. In fact, he hadn't. And he was very curious about this and very excited about the opportunity to explore in this new city. But he was a believer in Christ, and he was a follower of God. And so he knew that there was a bit of a dilemma in what he was going to do. So as he got on the subway that night and headed towards the red light district, he said a simple prayer to God. And he said, "God, if you don't want me to do this, I pray that you would provide a way out for me." And he went on the subway ride and got to the stop where he was told that this red light district was. And he got off the subway. And as he did, he walked through a crowd of people and began walking in the direction that he was told he would find some of these unusual pleasures. And a young girl came up to him. And she started speaking to him in this other language and pointing to him and speaking to him and talking to him. And finally she says, "Come with me, come with me." And he was not understanding, and he said, "Well, what do you mean, come with me? Where are we going?" And she said, "Come with me, come with me." And she continued to speak in this foreign language, and he said, "Well, where am I going?" And finally, another few of her friends came and crowded around him and said, "Yes, come with us, come with us. We are part of a church, and we want to take you with us. We want you to come to our church. We have a special blessing for you." And now, this was a time in that particular city when many cults were active, and they were blowing up subways and doing all kinds of things, and so he wasn't sure that it was exactly safe just to go with these people that hardly spoke any English and go to them with them to their church. He didn't have any idea what this was about. But then he remembered that he had prayed to God, and he said, "God, provide a way out for me if you don't want me to do this." And so he said, "Maybe this is from God." And so he decided to follow that, and he said, "Okay, I will go with you." And they took him to a building. They walked him away, and they took him back on the subway, took him up another stop, and got him off and put him in this front of this large building, and they walked him into this building, and inside he saw many people in there in a line, and they were all being baptized one after the other, just being baptized down and then come back out of the water. And so they told him, "Stand in line, go stand in line." And so he did, and he put on what they wanted him to wear for the baptism, and he got in line, and he was Baptist originally, and he'd been baptized before, so he was saying, "God, forgive me if this is against what you want me to do, but I'm just going to go ahead and do this and trust that it's you." And so these people baptized him, put him down under the water, and brought him up, gave him some hot tea, and put a robe around him, and then they said, "Now we want to give you a double blessing. We want to pray for you as well." And so they stood around him and prayed for him, and they prayed that he would be so filled with the Holy Spirit to enable him to do what he needed to do. And they finished praying for him, and they let him go and get dressed, and they walked him back outside, and they gave him a subway ticket, pointed in the other direction, and sent him back on his way, back to his home. My friend called me shortly after this incident just to talk about how amazing God was, that here he was headed for a path of destruction and headed on a way that was going to certainly entice him into sin. And God instead gave him a way out and sent him on this path, which gave him not only a single blessing, but a double blessing. God not only saved him from sin, but God blessed him twofold. Twice he blessed him and just gave him a baptism and a baptism in the Holy Spirit that he could be empowered to do what God wanted him to do. I thought that illustration was so clear and just so convincing that would keep anyone from sin. Well, it wasn't exactly, and other people have been led into sins in different ways, and they always seem to face a point of decision where they can say, "I believe God is showing me a way out," or they can go on into their sin. And there is going to be that point of decision where we have to choose, are we going to follow God, or are we going to follow our own evil desires and follow Satan and let the tempter tempt us into the path of sin. And let's look at that verse where God promises he will always provide a way out, because it's very important that you know that God is real, God is around, God cares very much about you, and he understands these temptations. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says this, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. See, God understands your temptation better than you know, and he always provides a way out. It reminds me of a video game I used to play where you would go into a different room, and every room this character went into, he had to find his way out of the room. And throughout the room were scattered objects, whether rocks or stones or darts or whatever he had to do to fight off the evil people and to make his way to the other side and get out of the room. But you never knew what was going to be in the room. So every room you went into, you had to figure out, now what is the way out? And you knew that there would be a way out, and you knew that every tool you needed would be provided for you. But somehow you had to see it and recognize it and then try to make your way out of the room. Well, luckily God tries to make these things very clear to us, and he will provide the way out, and he'll show it to us when we ask him, and we'll be able to see what it is. And in every situation we get ourselves into, he will provide a way out. He's the best programmer there ever was. He programmed this entire world to run, and he knows exactly how it works. And this is no game. This is a matter of life and death. So I want you to look, and make sure you look around you for that way out, because God promises when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, one of the questions is, where does temptation come from? And I think it's very clear in the Bible that the tempter is Satan. Satan is the one who tempts us. There are several verses that talk about the tempter. James 4, 7 through 9 is one of those, where it talks about, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Also in other passages, he talks about the tempter came to Jesus. And that's who came to Jesus in the 40 days in the desert. The tempter came to Adam and Eve, the very first people that ever lived on the earth. That was Satan himself, disguised as a snake, and came and tempted Eve with an apple in the garden. So when Hebrews says that, or 1 Corinthians says that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, that writer knows very much what he's talking about. Because temptation has been around since the beginning of time. Since Adam and Eve, the first people on earth, people have been tempted. Jesus himself was tempted. Every character in the Bible was tempted. And many fell into sin, and fell very hard into sin, and many died as a result of their sins. In fact, God knew this problem was coming, and God knew that people needed a Savior, and that's why he sent Jesus, because he knew that people would not be able to stand up under certain temptations, and they would give in to their flesh, and God wanted to provide, even then, a way out. And he's done that through Jesus. If you ask for forgiveness for the things you've already fallen in, God will forgive you when you believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, so you could be clean of your sins and go to heaven and be with him forever. So God, even at the end, has provided a way out that you can, even once you've been tempted and fallen into sin, you can still escape the wrath that is to come on this earth, which would be eternal destruction. So God is very much for you, and the things you're going through are very common to men. In fact, they're so common, Jesus says in Matthew 6, 9, in his prayer, when the disciples ask him how to pray, one of the things he tells us to ask for is that we would not be led into temptation, but we would be delivered from the evil one. So along with asking for our daily bread, along with asking for his kingdom to come and for forgiveness of our sins, Christ himself puts in our prayer that we can pray anytime, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Christ knew that this would be such a big issue in our lives that he put it in the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. Lead us not into temptation. That's something we can pray daily, and something we can pray when we get on the subway, something we can pray when we get on the internet. God, help us, provide us a way out. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. Keep my path straight so I can walk in your ways. Let me look at my third point, which is the best way to deal with temptation. And that is this: draw near to God. Draw near to God. Look again at James 4, verses 7 through 9. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. There's two things that we're doing. One is we're resisting the devil, but two is we're coming closer to God. And as we come closer to God, we'll be able to see the way out much sooner and much easier. Jesus was very close to God, and Jesus was very close to him also through his word, through the Bible, the words that were written down. And every time the tempter came to Jesus, Jesus said, "It is written." And he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written." And he continued to say, "It is written," three times when Satan came to him. He said, "It is written." He knew the word of God so well that he knew how to stand up when the tempter came. And that's what I want you to do as well. I want you to draw near to God. And one of the best ways is to read this book, read the Bible, memorize it, learn it, hide it in your heart. Get it so much ingrained in you that you will know exactly what to do, and you'll be able to walk straight out of that situation unscathed, so that you will not be tempted by Satan himself. In Luke 22, Jesus tells us also about how not to be tempted. It's along these same lines of drawing near to God. Let me look, Luke 22:46. He says to the disciples, "Get up and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation." Get up and pray so you will not fall into temptation. This is just a great way for you as well. Just like my friend did when he was on the subway, he just said a simple prayer to God. "God, show me a way out, provide a way out, so that I won't be involved in this temptation." Jesus said the same to his disciples. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. I want to go back just to one passage that it looks like I skipped over, James 1, 13 through 15, about exactly how temptation works. Because as long as you know how temptation works, you'll be able to combat it. In James 1, 13 through 15, it talks about the process of temptation and how it leads to sin and how that leads to death. "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So it's this temptation process that actually leads to our death. As we are tempted, we are dragged away. We are enticed. Satan himself entices us. And he leads us into sin. That gives birth to sin. And once we sin and actually conceive the act that we had thought of only in our mind, once we do that act, then we sin. And that sin and that act gives birth to death. There are many examples of venereal disease. It's just simply one of them, where someone in their mind has a lustful thought. That thought gives birth to a sexual act. And that sexual act gives birth to a disease. And that disease leads to death. So this simple process of temptation leading to death is the way that Satan has grabbed so many people and continues to grab them and pull them down to their destruction. And God has said, "There's a way that I'll provide you a way out so that when you're tempted, you won't even head down that path. You'll be able to walk in the other direction." The best way to break a habit is to not start one at all. If you can avoid starting the habit, you've avoided all the problems that occur later on down the road. And so my encouragement to you is not even to head in that direction. My friend that day on the subway was spared from beginning a habit that could have been very much to his destruction. He was shortly after that engaged to a beautiful woman, and they got married, and they're living happily ever after now as a result of him not having to go down that path and be exposed to that sin which would give birth to death and would have kept him from that life that he had. So I want to encourage you to look for the way out, to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And just to know that this temptation path will lead to sin and it will lead to eternal destruction. And if you don't know Christ, you will be in that destruction forever. If you know Christ, You'll at least escape, but you'll be escaping as one escaping through the flames. And that won't be a very pleasant thing on the day that Jesus comes back. And he wants you to be presented to him holy and righteous, pure and blameless, without spot or blemish. And that's what I want for you as well. I want to pray for you tonight that you would be able to see the way out and that you would have the strength to walk in that way. Because I know that this is not an easy road. And as Jesus knew that it was going to be a daily sort of battle for us, I know that these prayers make a difference as well. Jesus told us to pray that we would not be led into temptation, and so I'm going to pray with you right now that that would happen. Dear Lord, I pray for those who are watching that need to know your way out of the struggle that they face with temptation. God, I pray that you would give them the way out. I pray you would clear their minds so they could see clearly what would happen if they follow that way, and instead they would choose the way of life rather than the way of death. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would reach out right now and just touch them where they sit, Lord. Convict them of any areas of sin in their life that they need to clean up right now so that they can walk pure and holy and walk away from whatever it is that Satan is enticing them with. For Lord, it's not worth it. And you know it, God. But God, sometimes it seems from this perspective that what we are being enticed by looks so good, but we know that behind it is a path of destruction. And God, I just pray that you would reveal to people that path of destruction so they wouldn't walk in it and they would be free from it. In Jesus' name, amen. One more thing I want to share before we give you just a chance to say a prayer to God. I just want to say that if you need the forgiveness of Christ for some of the sins that you've already fallen into, I want you to know that that forgiveness is available. God knew that temptation would lead us to sin, and he sent Jesus for that very purpose. When Jesus died on the cross, he took all of your sins and mine on top of him, and he paid the penalty of death once and for all for every one of us. And by believing in Christ, by trusting in him and putting our faith in him, we will be saved from that destruction that will come to every person who has sinned. And the Bible says there's no one who is without sin, not even one. So eternal destruction awaits everyone just by default. Because everyone has sinned, they will be destroyed. But Jesus has provided for us an escape route, a way that we can escape that eternal destruction. And I want to encourage you tonight to put your faith in him fully and completely, confessing that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And you'll have a peace in your heart, and you can ask the Holy Spirit to fill you then and enable you to do the things that you want to do and God wants you to do. Would you just ask God to speak to you as I play one more song? This is a song called Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God, and Renew a Right Spirit Within Me. If you need right now God to purify your heart and you just want to ask for forgiveness and you want to invite the Holy Spirit in and just say, Holy Spirit, so fill me that I will not walk into sin anymore, then I want you to do that right now and just ask God to clean your heart so that you can walk away from here with a clear conscience and with the power to do what you want to do. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That prayer may have done it for you, but if you need more prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you right after this broadcast. After the live broadcast on Sunday night, I will be in the chat room with a few other friends, and we'd be glad to pray with you, or one-on-one, we can pray with you there as well and go into a private room and pray about some specific thing in your life. This has happened with me on many occasions where people just come and they have confessed their sins and their struggles to me, and as we pray, we see God move, and we see that God makes a difference in your life. And so if you need that, would you please join us in the chat room after the live broadcast, or if you'd like to find me later in the week, you can find me on ICQ at pokey@theranch.org. That's my email, or ICQ. You'll have to look for Eric Elder, and my ICQ number is on the Talk to Someone page as well from the ranch. And if you just need an extra boost in your faith or an extra prayer, or you just want someone to talk to, go ahead and send me a message or contact me, and I'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you, because God can really make a difference in your life. Temptation is tough, and Jesus knew it, but God always provides a way out. I want to encourage you to look for the way out and then follow it. Thanks for coming to the ranch. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.